Okay, you want me to stay?
I don't care. What do you think? I don't think you might, you don't need to stay, but you may, but you think?
I think, or could just to be.
Yeah, but it's so it's not wrong.
I'll come in then.
Fine. Okay.
It's all good.
Let me see. Mr. President. Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Hello, Jimmy, I'm Gerard.
I don't know if I see his face.
Too many of that, but that's what I use.
I want you to get a picture of,
What do you want to show the president, what you always are, yeah? That is a good sign.
It's a good sign.
I'm sorry, I'm bored.
That's not a number of the old.
Okay.
All right, it's real nice to make time to be here.
You're based in New York.
Yes, sir.
That's what I am, yeah.
Mr. Sosa, thank you.
Physical place to live, very sad.
Physical. My wife's gonna blow the hell out of me for not wearing my new blue suit when I saw it.
Well, that's scary, that's what I did.
You look like a reporter, you know?
Yeah.
Look like a reporter, how? Oh, Westerly, please, if I do.
Well, no, Gallagher, they're bushy, I don't know.
Guess you don't find it surprising, sign to that.
Look, I used to know John L. Lewis.
Why, that's okay, of course, I guess mostly what I was pursuing is a kind of a reflective story about, and they all had a little healthy people after 4 years of the interview.
How do you really feel, I guess?
That's the brain of the question.
I guess the
chief.
The people.
Director.
Council.
No, not.
It's for coffee.
He always works there.
Mr. President, I said, we have coffee once.
This was all about this.
Oh, me, I'm saying, this will go the other way.
You went to the little office.
Yeah.
Over the side, yeah.
Right, he was constantly.
I didn't even think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, this, you happened to come in on the day I had my physical, so somebody asked me, all right?
Yes, I heard that.
I didn't even.
They said I felt all right.
Well, yeah.
Perhaps that would be more.
Perhaps the best way to get at it is to start with the physical, isn't it?
Okay.
In a sense, you know, if somebody has kind of a feel that almost they have a little first reaction, well, I feel fine, or I don't feel so good today, or something, and you're usually reflecting, whether or not you have a stomach ache or a headache or some sort of physical disturbance. I would say that I've been very fortunate in that respect, but for the 4 years that I've been here, I have not missed a day. But of course, my slow serving treatment. I thought that was a record, but I found the only one that beat it was Truman. And, except that he didn't for an elected 4 year in UCLA. Harry Truman came in, if you recall, in the very first year of his term. It was about he was not sick that year, but then he did get sick for a few days and in his last year. So I'm the first 4 year president of suspended research. And yet, provided I last through the 20th of January, who hasn't missed a day in the office. So basically, I start with, I would say, considering my age and lack of exercise and so forth, which the doctors constantly criticize me for, recreation. I would say that I'm blessed with a very strong physical makeup. When I say blessed, where does that come from? That comes probably from inheritance or something else. I mean, probably from a rather Spartan background. I mean, as far as soft life is concerned, I didn't have the benefit of that coming up for any homes later. And so, being physically in good shape, but head never bothers me, the stomach never bothers me. Part of it is because, physically, it's really very interesting to me, doctor shows on television, and now it's doctor and nurses, so I don't see them, but I know they're on. But anyway, part of the reason that I think physical, that in this office, the reason I do get away with it so often, is that and this has been written before, which it's good advice to anybody else. I believe that in battle, and in battle, of course, this means any campaign, or in this office, which is a continuing battle, I don't believe against evil always, but just a battle. No one ever leaves the presidency for a moment. Like when I go to Florida, I'll be gone for maybe 4 or 5 days, but it's always there. You're working in charity office with you. I perhaps do it more than others, because it's my way. But on the other hand, it is very important first to live like a Spartan. That's why my eating habits, my drinking habits, are very moderate. For Socrates, said just long ago, so there's nothing new about it. And it doesn't mean that I don't enjoy a good time and all that, but I have found that, for example, and I've been through many political campaigns, that in a political campaign, or a great deal, the worst thing you can do is to say, oh gee, no, let's relax, let's get away from the car, let's have an extra drink or two. Because as much as you get a lift out of that, the letdown is just too great. So I'm not advising this for others, I'm just advising for myself. I find that therefore, to begin in this job, I would advise physical discipline. And then along with that comes also mental discipline and emotional discipline. Now you'll note this is a very clean office. This has been noted before, if you remember, Dan Johnson's here. This office like this would probably drive President Johnson right up the wall, because he likes something going on. And he had those 3 television sets, and he had to take them in the other room. And he could listen to the reading that George Christian was giving, and he wanted to do it, and he did it. And he followed it, but he wanted to be right up on everything. He had 3 TVs in his bedroom over there. I have none. Anywhere. None here, none in there. No, not that I don't. Well, when I go to Florida, I have a football game on Monday nights when they're on for Sundays, I will watch it. But generally speaking, this is another thing that has to do with how you feel, how you handle crises. And I didn't just learn this all, so I'm sure I learned it by over a period of years. I find that the most important characteristic that the leader or the decision maker must have is balance and objectivity and coolness and presence. He must act very decisively, but he must act very coolly. I can imagine that people may remember some of the rather tough decisions I've had to make, the Cambodian decision, the Maid decision, my mom, and so forth. They have pictures of the president jumping up and down, getting angry because the president said, these guys didn't do this and that, and now we're going to bomb them for this nomination, and so forth. People who write that, of course, don't know me, because actually I have a reputation generally that's quite true of being usually the coolest person in the room. And the reason is because it's a matter of, first, it's the way I am, and second, it's the way I train myself. The great decision requires, in this office, the coolest, most objective, impersonal attitude, if I may say, possible. Now that's why instant news is something I never allow to interfere with the decision. For example, I could sit, look at a television commentator, and go right at the wall, as he says, he's this. I read the morning papers, and I really read the morning papers quickly, etc. value instead. I probably have a broader coverage, I would say, of the delivers than almost anyone who's been here because of this remarkably good news summary that we have. A news summary that covers not only the great papers in New York and Washington, but covers the country papers. I know what they're saying in Rapid City, and I know what they're saying in LA and San Antonio and so forth, because you see, they always put it, and also I know what they're saying in the New Republic, as well as in as a national review, so we get that kind of balance in that. And also, obviously, we cover the TV. This is something that's hard to do. I never watch TV commentators or news shows, or I've seen some, but I never watch them when they're about me, but I always read about them. The reason for that is again, I mean, that I do not want a decision to be influenced by emotional, personal concerns. I constantly have to take members of my staff. Some of them are rather high-strung. Some of them need to be cheered up. Some of them need to be toned down a bit. But I find that the major weakness of inexperienced people, and some never get over it because they just aren't built to get over it. The major weakness of inexperienced people is that they take everything personally. They allow themselves to become the issue rather than to deal with the issue. And many of them have applied both in politics and in this debate. It is always that way in politics. And I have seen in politics many men destroyed because they allow themselves to become the issue. They allow it to become so impersonal that they away. It's needless to say these great battles that I'm supposed to have with the media and the press and all the right, the conflict with the press and Congress and so forth. As any one of the guys on here will tell you, Cormier, Helen Thomas, and another DNAP, or listed, or others, Craig, or Fred, some of you may have one or two, Apple. And the thing is, it's never personal with me, totally impersonal. It has not always been that way. I mean, years ago, when I was a young congressman and so forth, it was to get under my skin some. I'd read this, and I think, I'd see her block cartoons, and perhaps nobody has been cartooned. And I'm easy to cartoon and to make it look bad because I've got that kind of face. But on the other hand, rather than looking at a cartoon or reading an editorial and then getting angry and coming over here and pounding the door and raising hell, I walk into this office, cool, calm, good. I read the news summary quickly, get it all in my mind. Both sides, pro and con, shushy con, it always is. Some have said perhaps more criticism of whoever who happens to be president now than any president that's been in this office. But that's because the issues are so difficult. It's not me. The issues are very difficult now. The war is a terribly difficult thing to prevent from the press than the media. The whole problem of welfare is a terribly difficult emotional issue. So it tears them up. And I understand that. I have to disagree with them on that. But the fight is, I never allow, and I'd like to put that also in terms of congressmen and senators. I mean, some are surprised when members of the House and Senate will come through. Bill Fulbright, I don't know, he'll cut me up one side and down the other. He comes down to leadership meetings. We're the best of friends. I'm not sure he feels that way about me, but that's the way I am. You see what I'm doing?
Right.
Because, and so, I don't want to leave the impression that you have sitting here a president, and this would be a very dangerous thing to have in the presidency too, one who does not feel emotion, one who is not concerned about criticism, but one who pays no attention to what others feel. It isn't that, because then you would have arrogance and power beyond belief, particularly without an election to push you on. But what I am saying is that the most important thing I can do is to make the right decision for the next 4 years and not the right decision for tomorrow morning's paper or tomorrow afternoon's paper or tonight's news. That's the other thing. Without reacting to the immediate, must not react to it immediately. I mean, they may be right in this sort of thing. For example, we're having a difficult time now after coming so very close, having a peace agreement in October 8th and then again on October 26th and then again on November 20th. Now, at the present time, mean that at all. It simply means that the right kind of peace, which I always insist upon, we will obtain, but we are not going to, we're not going because Christmas is coming, because an inauguration is coming, because of any artificial deadline. We're not going to make any kind of a deal, an agreement, which would make everybody feel, oh, this is a great peace now. And then later on, they bust out from the war. What I take out to hear is another manner of approach. It's a matter of perspective. This individual, you know, the way you get perspective is reading a lot. Perhaps read more than you. Not as much as I would like to, but I read a great deal, because I don't watch television, except for any sports. But I read history and biography, and I read a great deal. But I think reason is energy, perspective. So what I am really concerned about, I tell Henry when he comes in the morning, and he says, oh gee, we've got this problem here. Joe Kraft wrote this, Scotty Reston wrote that. You see what Mahomes said? But I said, Henry, I said, all that matters is how it comes out. I said, the main thing is to do the right thing. And 6 months from now, nobody's going to remember what Joe Kraft or Scotty Reston, or for that matter, Dave Wilson, or Howard Smith, who would write a little on the other side, are going to say. I said, not that they shouldn't write it, not that their views aren't worthy of consideration, but the point is, the decision maker must not be affected by the current waves of opinion. He mustn't be affected even as we have hundreds of thousands of people circling around chanting, peace now, peace now, peace now, and worse. And he mustn't be affected by a television box banging, 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 banging. World War III is coming because of the mining out. Of course it wasn't coming, I knew that. At least I was relatively sure that it wasn't. But the point is that to come full circle now. As I see the position at the present time, I'll probably do better in the next 4 years than in the past 4 years from having gone through a few crises, gone through weather, learned how to handle them, and handle them coolly, not subjectively. That's what I mean. Incidentally, leaders differ in this respect. When you think of some of the great leaders of history, some of them have been very subjective about it. I think I am perhaps more objective. This sounds self-serving, it's not, it's just descriptive. I am more objective because I find that when a leader becomes too subjective, thinking of himself, thinking of his place in history, all that sort of thing, that then he tends to make mistakes. He tends to become emotional. He intends not to sit down and make that rational, cool judgment that only he can make. And so we come back to full circle to what we talked a moment ago about. What's all this got to do with the physical situation? Is it basically what I think it gets to resist it, is that an individual who disciplines himself physically, eating, drinking, mentally, emotionally, and so forth, you get a pretty good picture of the kind of individual you have here. If on the other hand, he's given to excessive bursts, he's going to do rather excessive things. Having said all this, most of the people out here in the press never say, well, that SOB does do excessive things, so he's describing somebody else. But I'm just giving you my own description. But you go ahead, I'm talking to you a monologue.
Is it, despite obviously continuing problems, is it possible to become more relaxed in this job every 4 years?
Relaxed?
I don't mean in the sense that I'm working out, it's hard.
When it comes to making speeches, when it comes to doing a press conference, particularly talking press conference or conversation, you have to be really up and sharp when every word means something. If anyone is totally relaxed, he's going to be up. out of balance there. They must be up. He must be up for it without being uptight. And it's a very, very narrow dog balance. And I would put it this way, that having done it so often, that I perhaps have a much more acute sense, a finer sense of just how up an individual should get. Because if you go beyond a certain point, when you can overtrain, you know, you study for examination. I remember in law school, I just got we just take another 5 days out of the meeting that I cried. Remember in law school, I got rather well. I studied too long. I only slept about 4 hours that night. I still did very well in the course, but I should have done better. And I had to tell them that I tried to be right. It was all good. It was all left in the practice field. That's what they're doing. In overtraining. On the other hand, then there's another balance. Well, I'm just going to go in and I feel great and more relaxed. You sit there and stand there for a press conference and somebody asks you a sharp question and you're a dollar. Or you amount of money. Well, when you speak about being relaxed, I would say when I came into office, let me put it this way, when I came in 69, I had been through enough. The fact that I had suffered some rather shattering defeats and had been in, as de Gaulle or Churchill would have called it, the wilderness for 8 years out of office, making money for you said that you should. He does a few little things. But nevertheless, as a result of that, I came into office able to confront tough problems without flapping. I don't flap easily. An individual tends to go to pieces, tends to be nervous, not at his best, frankly, when he's inexperienced, when he sees a great problem for the first time. Now, there are just not many tough problems of one kind or another that I haven't faced in one magnitude or another. I haven't faced them all, of course, but they have not been easy. The very fact that my political life has been a difficult one, that it's been a life of comeback, the fact that it hasn't been starting from the top and never losing, perhaps was a blessing. I wouldn't have said this in 1960. It wasn't pleasant to lose, and I thought, well, I should have come in and succeeded. If he was in 1960, I would have only been, instead of 59, as I am today, I was only 46 then, and I was younger, worked a little longer, and so forth and so on. The difference, however, is that I don't have kids. I can't work quite as long, as many hours as I used to in my 40s, as I end the 50s. The point is that I get a lot more done. I get a lot more done. And in handling it, and I also spend far less time on what doesn't matter. That's another thing that I'm one who, if somebody else can do something better than I can, he doesn't. I will not spend my time on details that others who have responsibility for my present. There's the old story about Grover Cleveland. He read every bill, and of course these days he couldn't do that. Couldn't have time. He'd go blind in one term, let alone two. He had two even in the split in 4 years. But the point is, why did he get it? Because he would rather, it was said about him, he would rather do something poorly himself rather than delegate it to someone else who might do it well. And I have exactly the other point of view. I will delegate when somebody has confidence and he does well, and then I back him up. But where the important decisions are concerned, the messenger for it, I'm in. And I bring him in here. And then prepare to take the heat, and as well as to spend all the time that is necessary. And I will put aside, what appears to be, they'll say, this appointment just has to be had. You've got to have this sort of meal, it's got to be answered. Or this meeting, you've got to attend for that. Or this speech, you've got to prepare. If at a certain time I have a major decision to make, it all goes totally out of my mind, everything. I put it all aside, and I just concentrate on what really matters. And then I come back to the rest and do it. Or so that I don't wear out concentrating simply on the important thing, which I sometimes do. What I will do then, I'll go over to that little Lincoln sitting room, and I'll sit there with my kid. And I can do that practically in my sleep. I go through the paperwork, checking, you know, options, this and that, and the other thing, dictating the knowledge, et cetera.
Speaking of your political career, election night must have been doubly sweet in view of the nature of your past career. And I know you said only a little about your own feelings, and I know you're not in the habit of saying much more than a little.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I could get some of your thoughts that night.
It's hard to describe thoughts.
I'll bet it would be. But as
I think, actually, I think to me, the greatest pleasure was to see how what a big kick the young people got out of it. I'm referring not only to our young voters and all that, but Tricia and Julie, to whom the defeats of 60 and 62 were very traumatic experiences. And also my wife. Women, frankly, women are stronger than men in many ways. They take. To them, anything is black or white. To most women, the man tends to roll with it. He says, "Well, it looks okay." But both my wife and two daughters took the defeats of 60 and 62 very, very hard. I took them pretty hard myself. I mean, I had a lot to lose. But on the other hand, winning in 69, of course, 68. Made them feel very good. That Julia, that's the coolest year up there. And then 72, rather capital, because, you know, in 69 it was a third party and we only got 43% of the vote, and it took all night to count the votes. And people were wondering, well, is this kind of a mandate? And of course, the country was all torn up and so forth and so on. There was no threat of war. Problems were insurmountable. Here's going to be a long-term president. He wasn't popular, et cetera, et cetera. Well, who cares and all that? So here comes 72. And then after 4 years of the most devastating, and I don't complain about it all, the most devastating attacks on television in much of the media. I don't know. And perfectly there, I'm not referring now to reporter and referring to the editorial, et cetera, or more the Washington columnist type, et cetera, which we see and pay attention to. And then during the election period, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, some of the sort of wishful writing and commentating of those who said that the gap is narrowing and it appears it's going to be a very close election. And then, landslide, 49 states, 61%. Well, you would think that I personally would have a very great election. Oh, isn't this great? Finally, we did, sure would. But it's always been my experience that you never really have that. I mean, you put so much into it, and the rest of the jury, you don't have that. But I must say, as far as the family was concerned, that Tricia, Julie, Mrs. Nixon, David, David just thought it was great. He just loves politics. And Eddie Cox, they kept running in with the results. I was sitting in the Lincoln Room, you know, making calls, checking a few states here and there. I had to do giving the calls, and they were all so thrilled about it. And the very fact that they were so excited about it made me feel more excited about it. But then after it was in, you know, it was in early, around 11 o'clock after we got to the I went over to the state, we stayed there, and then over to Sharp, and went over to the EOB to get over last year. We then felt, I was there just sitting, getting some of the late returns for, want to get in California, particularly want to get in. But then, you are so drained emotionally that there is no relation. What happens then? And that's why I always advise people, never take a vacation right after an election victory, or you can't do it. That's why we went to Florida for a couple of days with work over there, and then went to the Camp David Syndrome. Because that's the time, it's going to take a long time to run down, to get the system down. Now I'll go to Florida and perhaps take off a few days and enjoy it more. But for those that haven't been through great election contests of this sort, and very few go through election contests for the presidency, but the Senate and the House should do the same way. I'm sure they're all going to find the same thing. And it'll depend on the personality. That you think, gee, just wait till that day comes, just wait till the returns, and then we're just going to have the greatest celebration, and we're going to feel great for what you don't. There's a letdown, not a disappointment, or anything that sort of thing. You know, it's basically your dream. You know, I treat it the same way when you've written an article, and you work like the Dickens, and you sweat, and it's going to be great this time. You get through, it takes you 2-3 days before you can deal with it. You get the letdown. It's always that way.
Mr. President, is the presidency a kind of continually learning experience for
you? Oh, absolutely. That's the one thing I feel is very important. It's a learning process for everybody in the staff. A number of people are leaving government, a number are staying. Those that are staying, however, I've talked to all of the cabinet officers or staff members tonight. Recharging, they've got to charge up again. There can never be a letdown in this office. Never, never, never. And that is why that's one of the great dangers of a landslide victory. And that's one of the great reasons that I made a number of changes. Some are leaving, and in none of the departments except for Rogers, do we have a cabinet officer who was there 4 years ago in that same department? Well, he's the only one. The reason is that we want every cabinet officer, every division head, everybody who has there to have a new charge, have a new challenge, so that he won't get into a routine, ever treat this as a routine. It's got to be treated as a great experience at all times. And so that gets back to you learn something. You learn something unless you begin taking for granted the power that you have, the grandeur of the office. Let me hit it another way. I think you've there's been a lot written about this business of the what they call the isn't it very dangerous for a president to be reelected, and particularly be reelected by a lot of votes, because then after he's reelected, he has no restraints on it because he doesn't ever run again. And that's really a fatuous argument. In my superficial analysis of the presidency. An individual who serves in this office does not serve here simply for the purpose of getting reelected. He serves here because this office gives him an opportunity to do great things. And the opportunity to do great things without having to be concerned about having to do things that have to do with getting reelected could be even greater. That's why I think while most second 4 years have been downhill, I think they have been downhill due to the fact that there's been a tendency too often for the re-elected presidents to go with the same teams. Now, it doesn't mean you don't keep a lot of the same players, but you move them to jobs so that you have a new challenge. And there's a tendency to say, the man is older. And I have to agree with that a little, but what we want to do is to, I want everybody in this office, I want everybody in the cabinet, to think every moment of the next 4 years that the challenge is just as exciting and just as great as when we came in 4 years ago. Now that's the job of the leader, though. He's constantly got to be in and whipping him up, and if he doesn't feel that way, the other doesn't feel that way. I mean, the team will always, they'll go just about as fast as the leader takes them, no faster. So whether it's the coach, if the coach calls the play, or the quarterback, if he's called the play. In this case, I'm both. I call the plays, and I'm the quarterback, too.
Sir, you have Well, I think my question would have been, is there in any sense a relief over the fact that you're not going to run again?
Well, let me say that the campaigning is a, that first, to that this is something that I would say to all those who work in a campaign for either our opponents or for ourselves, and all those who have been candidates, whether they won or they lost, it is a great experience, and individuals should not be afraid to step up to it. To me, one of the great tragedies I'm not going to give any names, are men that I can think of in the House, or even in the administration, men 45, 6 or 7, who now should run for either senator or governor in their states, but who somehow, somewhere along the line, got too cautious, playing a little too safe, for either they're in the House or thinking about their retirement, or in a safe seat in the House, they are not committed to this, or they don't want to take a chance. Or, if they're out of the house, gee, I've got to take a poll and see what the people think. There's a thing to do. That an individual must do foolish or rash things, but he must never be afraid to take a chance if there is a chance. It is evil politics. And politics is a game. Politics, it is the only game. All the other games in the real sense. So it's a game, and it makes a great deal of difference whether you win or lose to yourselves and your football player, baseball player. But here, this game affects the life of the nation, the life of the world, because of what this nation is. And so, for that reason, it is vitally important that the individual be participated to it. I would put it this way: the individual, whether he's the president or a congressman or a senator or a cabinet officer or a staff member, must always play the game of politics by politics statesmanship right up to the hilt. Now, in terms of, to get to your question, whether or not is it a relief not to have to run for office again, I still have responsibilities, of course, politically to help members of my party and others who may share my views, along the road, and I will do so. I will need that responsibility. It is somewhat of a relief. It is somewhat of a relief in the sense that I will not have to spend time, however, with individuals who, because it's their business to do so, come in from state after state all over the country and say, you've got to do this, 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 or this, or you may not win this next election. Now the decisions I always have tried to make are based on what's best for the country, and every president tries to do that. The decisions, to a certain extent, are influenced by how they're going to affect the next election. None of these decisions will be influenced by how they're going to affect the next election.
However small that might have influenced before, is it
not? It's gone now. It's not. And personal, it's removed completely personally. You may think, certainly, of your party, or you may think of your ideas, and whoever may carry those ideas on, whatever his party may be, and you want those ideas to succeed. But you're not going to allow all those nagging little details about whether the airport ought to go in this state or that state, because it might affect the votes of that state. Think about that. It's still good to be out under that you don't have to worry about. Or whether this person should get that or that person should get that. There's another good thing about winning this way. You see, when you win 49 states, they all get the same treatment. And that doesn't mean that Massachusetts has to be any easier. No, for Massachusetts, the District of Columbia, we have a special responsibility to. As far as Massachusetts is concerned, I've got so many Harvard men in the administration, they deserve plenty of good treatment. I see. So there's no problem. But it is quite true, you see. This is a greater sense, even in President Johnson's victory, a national victory. It was north, east, west, and south. And the vote's about the same. New York, 69, California, 57, 43, or 56, 43. Some of the southern states a little higher. But sure, it is some relief.
not to have to go out and typically do things for solely political purposes. I mean, by political purposes in the sense of my own political future. On the other hand, leadership will still be required. That's why I travel into the country. I believe the White House has got to go to the country, travel into the country, winning the support of people in the country for the policies that we have, particularly with the Congress being under control of the other party. This is still going to be required. But taking the personal factor out of it is indeed a, shall I say, one of the major dividends of the election.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Most of the time, would you pass on my best to Mrs. Nixon and tell
her I'm still grateful to her for spoon feeding me that ice cream at the Goom store in Moscow.
Oh, it's good.
You know, they weren't right. They handle it.
They're a big pile.
I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I know they love ice cream, of course.
That's an argument with yourself.
Yeah, it's great. Great ice
cream.
I'm most grateful to God.
I bet George also.
Except for the people that are on TV, for example.